For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Welcome! Welcome to the Hood Prophetess Speaking in Tongues. I am very excited for tonight's episode. It's going to be one of first. I'm going to be trying something new tonight, which is going to be some storytelling. So there have been some things going on regarding aliens and UFOs, a lot of interdimensional activity. There is something going on with the soul's economic system and the universal world, okay, and the soul and essences of the world, the economical system of our living situation, right, on earth. There are some things that are happening and transpiring and being revealed on to us. And we're going to be kind of looking at some of the weird oddities that have been going on. And I have a really good second episode, because while I was kind of doing some research, the spirit came upon me and revealed some more stuff to me. And we're going to go into the tarot. We're going to be going to the tarot next episode. I'll try to implement it and try to make more of an episode. I don't really want to freestyle that episode, because usually I get on here and I freestyle. I don't really have nothing written down or anything. But that episode that I'm going to do, I am going to be looking into some information and trying to pull as much from spirit as I can possibly get, so I can come up with this episode. I'm really excited because I stumbled across it, and I almost didn't do this topic that I'm doing tonight, but I feel like this episode will be a great precursor for that. So welcome back. In the show notes, I am going to place a link for voice notes. I'm going to try and do this new thing, hopefully with my, small following. I know I fell off and I'm coming back or whatever. Hopefully with the small following that I'm gaining back or coming to me, that you guys would like to participate. I will be placing in the show notes my link so that you can send me a voice note on whatever question that you would like for me to do a reading on. So if you have a certain topic, anything about anyone, about yourself, about an ancestor, about someone, whatever that you could think of, go ahead and submit a voice note. Okay, let me hear your voice. Let me see what's up with you. Make sure that you ain't no fucking troll out here. You can submit to me a question, and I will pick, for the next episode. So in the next episode, I will do your reading or whatever. And I probably have that at the end of the show. So it'll be sort of like a list. You know how people will send in letters to a radio station or something and give advice? So it'll be something like that. But I'll be doing the reading for you. So you guys can do that. You can email me at thegifted.odon@gmail.com. But I don't be signed into that. I don't really check it that often. So your best bet, if you want a quick answer, and you're more, and the probability of you being picked would be more substantial if you were to leave a voice note than an email, because I probably won't get it until weeks or maybe months later, because I don't check my email like that. Okay. So yeah. Moving on. I'm very excited for this episode. There have been some energies going on in Miami, and I don't know why I feel so like weird right now. Maybe because I'm kind of doing something different, but I just feel really weird right now. But I guess I'm trying to think, do I want to talk about some of the things that have been like pop culture, like kind of get like pop culture out the way and kind of move in? Give me a second. There isn't really anything that I am seeing that would tie into this episode that I would need to bring up. I could save whatever that is for another episode. So we're just going to tap right the fuck in. All right, y'all. It's kind of late here. All right, so I'm going to be playing in a video that I got from Arta Kicks. I've been following him on YouTube. He does like reactions to TikToks and things of that nature. And I'm going to play two accounts that he will be reacting to. And it's pretty short, but I do want you guys' opinion. Let me know what y'all think about it. There has been a lot of phenomena going on surrounding Miami, surrounding Florida, and I'm going to read this excerpt. Teens running, police converging, and a gray splotch that appears to be moving. Videos from an outdoor mall in Miami stoked wild claims that this week on social media that aliens had landed on Earth, but the truth is far from terrestrial. On Monday, a group of roughly 50 teenagers caused a riot at Bayside Marketplace, an outdoor mall roughly 5 miles from South Beach, according to the Miami Police Department. The teens were setting off fireworks, which led to a panic as some assumed there was a shooting. 4 teens were arrested that night. Police were dispatched for crowd control due to the juveniles refusing to leave, Vega said in an email to NBC News. Some businesses were temporarily closed to allow the police department to clear the area. In the days after the incident, users on social media launched a speculation frenzy honing in on what they described as Miami Mall aliens. Some suggested police were responding to aliens, not teenagers. Several people reviewed video of the incident circulating online and claimed that they can see an alien figure in the grainy footage. Others quickly posted memes. While many of the responses online appeared lighthearted, the posts showed just how quickly and easily misinformation can spread on social media. The response also underscores an uptick in interest in extraterrestrial activity from hearings in Congress last summer about unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAPs, to Mexico's Congress showing off what it claimed were non-human aliens. Both of those events also became prime meme fodder. However, Vega said aliens had nothing to do with Monday's incident. There were no aliens, he wrote in the email. No airports were closed. Nothing is being withheld from the public. LOL. Still by Friday afternoon, Miami Mall alien was trending on the social media site Twitter and TikTok. Okay, so we are going to listen, comprehend, and then try to see what's your analysis, what's your intuition telling you, what do you discern from the situation. Yeah, so let me go ahead and play this for y'all.
Alright, so I had to come in my basement and film this. This is so crazy. I'm posting this, and I want y'all to repost, save this video, post it on other platforms before it gets taken down, because I want to clear up some of this misinformation about the Bayside Mall incident that happened. So me and my girl was in town and we were shopping at the mall, and we noticed a lot of kids there. It wasn't a real big deal at first until they got to arguing and shoving, and then like weapons got brought in, and they started fighting.
All right, so this sounds like this is about to be the truth by somebody who was actually there, an actual witness to what happened at the mall that day.
Running all over the mall, chaos just all over the place. So we thought we heard gunshots, but it turns out that that was actually fireworks. But either way, that caused everybody to start rushing for the doors. People was leaving stuff behind. I mean, just dragging their kids. It was just complete fucking chaos, man. Anyway, so as we running, we look back and we notice some weird shapes taller than me. I'm 6'2", shadowy, dark, solid shapes, not human. I promise you, these is not human. I mean, it made the hair stand up on my skin. And shit, we just booked it for the doors after that, man. I can't explain what that was. I can't say that was aliens, but I can say that was not human. It was not human. And they online, I don't know if they're trying to cover this stuff up, but they saying that it was police officers and somebody, not shadowy figures. It's 2024, man. It's something going on. There's something going on, and they're trying to cover it up. A lot of people saw what I saw, and like I say, it was so much chaos ensued that it was just hard to let that sink in, that we was realizing what we're looking at. I mean, it's something you can never even create in your head in a dream.
What?
I'm putting this out there though, man, because I want people to know that this stuff is real. Get this out and spread this. And if you were a person that was there and you saw what I saw, please put this video out, because they're trying to cover this stuff up, man. They don't want us to tell the truth. And I got a good feeling this video will be taken down.
This is like I've always said, once extraterrestrials show themselves, finally appear, they're going to be nothing like anything we could have possibly imagined in our heads. And if he was there, and if he saw it, if we believe him, like I'm sure we want to believe, then what he just said perfectly aligns with what I've been thinking. What?
So, don't listen to the media. This is real. And whatever it is, they do not want people to know about it. I can't even, man.
What did I tell y'all back in 2022? What did I tell y'all? In 2 years' time, we're going to have some evidence. We're going to know way more than we know now about the existence of extraterrestrials. We're going to have physical evidence. They're going to come down. They're going to appear. I'm not saying that it happened yet, but I am alluding to the fact that we're getting that much closer. Told y'all, this is going to be the year. It's going to be the year, baby.
I was there at the Bayside Mall with my family, and we all saw exactly what happened. Don't like pay attention to a lot of the videos that are out there. I feel like a lot of people are trying to use this for clout, but what happened, we all saw what happened, and it's pretty serious. I it's been a few days, but our whole family's processing it, but I think we've kind of like accepted that we were a part of this weird experience and moment. So basically what happened was I was there with my brother Brian, my sister and my nephew. We were looking for shoes for my nephew. And then we see a whole crowd of people outside the store just running out in a direction. So, as soon as we saw it, we were like, oh shit, what's going on? So we immediately ran out with our nephew. And we picked him up and we ran out and we followed the crowd. And then about like a few seconds later, as soon as we started running, my nephew, he's autistic. So he was pointing behind us and he was saying, Blanky, which he'll usually say whenever he feels unsafe or scared. And he was pointing behind us. So me and my brother, we look behind us and then we see these 3, 9, 10 foot tall creatures. I'm not gonna say aliens. Everyone keeps saying it's aliens. I'm not saying aliens because I don't know what it was.
It also could be that he's not saying aliens because maybe up to this point and continuing on, maybe he doesn't believe in the existence of aliens. So some people will see something that may look alien-like and not believe it to be an alien because they don't believe in aliens, so they'll call it something else. That's fair.
None of us really knew everyone. All of us stopped in our track. We, you know, a whole bunch of people were pointing at it. I mean, there were other people running. There was a crowd. As soon as it made itself more apparent, it looked like it was glitching. Not like a computer pixelation, but like a wavy glitch. And whatever maybe was covering them had, you know, unveiled or whatever. It looked like a glitch, man. It was like a weird glitch in the Matrix or whatever. And then you could see it in its full form, all three of them. And then, they were all black. You saw eyes. And you could faintly see, like lips. But, I was about, like, 20 feet away. Because, obviously, everybody gave it distance, right? And, they're tall. So we all just, like, looked at them. They were just standing there. And the thing that was a little bit weird, well, it was clearly, like, observing us. It was sentient, right? Like, or whatever. I mean, I don't know. But it was aware of us. It looked at us, the whole crowd. And then as soon as it started walking with its big legs, like, kind of like, it started, like, almost glitching again, we all ran. My brother, like, immediately said, yo, let's go. He grabbed me by the shoulder. We bolted out of there. And for anyone that's, like, saying, you know, where's the footage? Yeah, I know. I don't have any footage. And I'll explain why. Because, like, when I saw it, I was in complete fear. It was something that I completely froze, man. I don't care if I sound like about it. Like, I froze. I don't care who you are. I feel like when you're seeing something paranormal, it's different than when you're seeing a fight. Yeah, you'll probably want to record that and put it on Worldstar or whatever. When you see something paranormal, that's different. Because your reality, you can't comprehend what you're seeing. A fight, you kind of get it. Two people are fighting. You can comprehend that. Something like this, none of us could comprehend. Your first instinct is like, it ain't to like take out your phone and start recording. Your first instinct is like, I've never seen this before. What is this?
Yo, now that I'm like listening to him, I'm thinking about all those cops that showed up. And I'm thinking about if they got phone calls from the dispatcher saying, yo, there's something going on at the mall. Hundreds of people are calling in saying that they're seeing aliens. Y'all might want to get down there. That would be the only reason why I can see every freaking cop car down there in Miami. It looked like it. There was like 30, 40 cop cars all pulling up to that spot.
Is it going to hurt me?
I don't even think it would be that many cops for a mass pew-pewer.
Or my family. That was my first number one priority. So if you don't believe me, I get it. You know, it's fine. Like, it is silly. I'm sure that someone had footage from that night. If you did, please contact me just so that, you know, we actually have it.
That's crazy. The fact that he's asking, he was like, yo, if you got footage, please share it with me.
So anyways, as soon as the creature started moving, we all just jetted out there. We ran out the front doors. And it, you know, obviously like, we see a whole sea of cop cars, mad cop cars, or other ones were coming in. And we ran with our nephew, and then, you know, a cop stopped us. They took us a little, to a bit of a safer area behind the cars.
So part of the reason this video, as y'all can tell, is somewhat long. We still got probably another 3 minutes left. And the reason why I'm going to let it play all the way through is because I want to see if there's any possible holes in his story.
And then and they asked us what we saw. And we told them what we saw. They wrote it down. And they asked everybody to check their phones. Not everybody, because there was mad people like running away too, right? They couldn't get everyone. So I'm wondering if someone's going to post a video. But yeah, they looked through everyone's phone. I didn't record anything, so I was fine. None of us recorded anything, so we were basically free to go. But in the distance, you could still see, like, you know, I didn't see the beings come out of the door, right? But you could see on the side of the building, kind of like that clip that everyone's seen, that it was slowly walking. And it was like, it wasn't cloaking or glitching or whatever. It was walking. So I don't know if it seemed more like it was an interdimensional thing. Someone's coming into our dimension or whatever, a bunch of them. And I think, you know, that it was just interesting, the police response, because there was a whole bunch of them. This ain't for no teenagers. No, this was for something way bigger. And it almost seemed like the cops had like an already made strategy for it, because they surrounded one of the beings with like all their police cars. They blared it up even louder because you could hear that it was louder. Maybe as an attempt to like distract it or let it know, like, hey, you don't belong here, right? And you know, they were trying to like slowly move alongside with it. But I didn't see anything else after that, because me and my family, we got out of there, we went into our car, we went home. Because, you know, we had our nephew with us, and we wanted to make sure, like, you know, he was okay. So I'm still kind of, like, processing everything. Like, it's weird, but at the same time, I'm glad that we weren't alone in seeing it, because, like, it was a whole bunch of us that saw it. And it feels kind of like, you know, you're part of something, like, really big. But at the same time, it's confusing, because like you want to kind of like show people. Like, I wish I took a video, man, like, because people are gonna probably think I'm crazy, right? But yeah, I'm left with more questions. Like, we were all kind of left with more questions than anything else. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's aliens. I know everybody's saying it's aliens. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I saw something come in through like a weird glitchy, maybe a portal or whatever. And it was like, they were, you know, they're pretty tall. You could see some facial features. It was very, they were very dark, like, and shiny. But I can't tell if it was like a wet shiny or like a metallic shiny. And yeah, and you know, long limbs. Yeah, I mean, yeah, long limbs, long fingers. They were definitely humanoid in shape, and shadowy. But that, maybe that shadowiness was like from a glitch or whatever, like whatever cloaking maybe they had like fell off. But yeah, it felt like something was coming into our world or whatever, like a Stranger Things episode. But it was crazy, man. Like,
that is so specific to say that it feels like something is coming into your world, like from another dimension. That glitchiness, yo, this was so fascinating. And then like how the stories of the people, the eyewitnesses, are somewhat lining up together. And then he says that the cops was gathering as many people as possible that could have potentially recorded this incident to get them to delete.
In October of 2000.
Alrighty, so that is the end of that clip. I mean, what did y'all think? What did y'all think? Do y'all think that... Hold on, let me get my music right. Do y'all think that is true? You know, do y'all think that something did happen, that they did see some sort of creature or extraterrestrial, I can't say that damn word, extraterrestrial or alien, some foreign type of entity, possibly even, yeah, some type of foreign entity, some type of being that is not from this earth? What do y'all think about that? For me, regarding the stories, the first guy, he seems kind of like, you know, whatever. He was just pretty much straight to the point, you know. But I don't really get when people are telling something and saying like, share this content, make sure everybody see it, da 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 da. I don't know. But, you know, you are putting your reputation. I don't know what kind of, what he does for work and stuff like that. He is putting his reputation on the line, you know, by getting online and saying anything, because a lot of people do not, even the people who are more keen to believe in certain things like that, like events like that, it still sounds crazy as fuck, and people are going to still lean on the side of that doesn't make sense, that's not real, you're imagining things, or you're fucking lying. You know what I'm saying? Oh, if you don't like cussing or whatever, go ahead, log out, baby, because this is not one of them shows. This show is explicit. So the second guy, though, he was more fluid in what he was saying. And both of these men are black men. Not that it matters, but what I'm saying is I haven't seen any white or Asian or anything like that. No Cubans, no Hispanic. I haven't seen nobody else besides black guys get on and talk about this, or black people. I seen one black lady. I didn't add her in because I didn't really believe what she was saying. And then I had seen another black guy. It was a third black guy that I seen stating that he and his girlfriend was at the mall on vacation. Something similar to what the first guy said. But then he gets online a couple days later, and then he says that he's never been to Miami. He was just trolling. He was never there. But he was like one of the first videos, like the first people to respond about what was going on in Miami. And some people are saying, like, did that man get paid to get on there and, you know, change his statement or whatever? Because they don't understand why he would get on and troll like that. But he sounds very similar to what that guy, I didn't play his, but he was actually the first video I seen before everybody else. So I don't, you know, with social media, you don't know who posts what first. I don't fucking, you know, when it goes viral. But I mean, his story corroborates with the other people that I was watching. Okay. So the second guy that I played tonight, and there was no name listed. They didn't say their names. Their TikToks wasn't even listed on the video or anything. So I can't tell y'all any of that information. But the second guy that I played tonight, he sounds like he has a very cohesive story, is very fluid. He did not really stutter or stammer, or sound like he was telling a lie. And he kept going, you know what I'm saying? Like literally telling us a story, telling his emotions, the way he felt, his reaction, what was good, you know, he's being very specific, to the information that he's trying to give us and the imagery that he's trying to, allow us to visualize. So I don't know. It sounds legit, but I'm about to pull some cards because really, this, when it's stuff like this, I don't really try to. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Because it could be real, but it could be fake. So I'm about to pull, and then it's just been a whole lot of stuff going on in Florida. You know, and we already know that Florida is connected to the Bermuda Triangle, which we don't really fucking know what that is. Planes and people and all kinds of stuff disappear, vanish, never seen again, disappear and reappear years later. Certain things like that is very creepy and mysterious regarding the Bermuda Triangle. So the energy in Florida is fucking crazy. The Florida man energy, the Florida people, it's something in the water. Literally, when people say it's something in the water, it's something in the water in Florida. And I'm about to pull real quick. I just want to see, especially about the second guy, because he was way more detailed. I want to ask, first I'm going to ask, was there an alien manifestation at the Bayside Mall? Okay. Yeah, let's pull. Was there alien manifestation at the Bayside Mall? Girl, I don't even fucking know. I got the Queen of Pentacles, the Page of Swords, the Emperor. If you are not into tarot or you do tarot, I'm telling you the card so you can kind of visualize what I'm seeing. And you can also pick up your own energies, use your own intuition when you go and check it out. Or if you read tarot, you can pick up what I'm putting down, right? Queen of Pentacles, Page of Swords, the Emperor. Baby, I cannot tell. Honestly, this really don't even tell me nothing. Okay. There is two beings here. Okay, so it's a female energy and a male energy, and then there's a third energy here. So with the Page of Swords, so I want to say that they did see something. Okay, what's at the bottom of my deck? The Five of Cups is at the bottom of my deck. Okay, so when we're looking at this energy here, this kind of goes with what they're talking about regarding it being a very dark being. Go and look at the traditional Rider-Waite tarot card of the Five of Cups, traditional tarot card, the Five of Cups imagery. We're not going to look at the, you can look at the meaning if you want to look at the meaning, but I read tarot as an oracle. I'm not a literal reader. I use my intuition. I use my spirits to get the information. So when I'm looking at the Five of Cups and you're seeing this dark energy here and it's hidden, you can't see the face. You can't see the face. You can't really see the details on the body. You don't really know what it is. It can also, it can even look like a damn shadow. Look at the Five of Cups. This is corroborating this story. I think they did see something. There was some sort of alien manifestation there. Okay. That's interesting. That's real interesting. Let me ask, is their story true? But I want to know, yeah, let me ask at least the second guy. Is the second guy's story true? Okay. So I got the Ten of Wands. It's exaggerated. I do see that he was possibly at the mall, or that he could have been there or whatever, or he's probably from Miami. So he could be in the vicinity of the mall or whatever, because I see him being like in Florida. But if he was actually there and he actually witnessed this stuff, he's exaggerating it. So to me, when you are exaggerating that, my spirits are going to tell me that you're lying. You know what I'm saying? Because you're exaggerating. So it clouds the truth. So there is some truth to it, but it's not the full truth. So, the way spirit works, they're going to say you're lying, right? If you were talking to God, or if you were, you know what I'm saying, speaking on terms of like, you know, spirituality, biblically, stuff like that, the Holy Spirit will say that you're lying, because a truth cannot be a lie. It's either or. So it's going to say that this person is lying. But so we can't really go off his story, because what they're telling me is he's lying, because there's exaggeration here. So we don't know what part of what he said is actually the truth. Him being there, him seeing the cops, him, you know, what part is the truth? We don't know. So they're saying that he's lying. But hey, I don't know. I am seeing here though. I mean, with that five of cups, it kind of corroborates what they're saying, like a cloaked being, someone being cloaked. So, it could be a truth. It could be the truth. It could be a lie. I could just be just reading the hysteria of the energy. Because honestly, I have to go back and listen. Because when I do readings and stuff like that, I don't even be knowing what the fuck I'm talking about. I even with me doing the reading, I am trying to not have a bias with it. Because I don't really believe what I'm seeing. But it looks as if there was something that did manifest there. And then there are people that are exaggerating that it probably wasn't as bad as what people are saying. And that many people did not notice it in that way. In the way that they're saying, but I do see some sort of cloaking or something like that. But I see it happening quite fast, and it wasn't even enough time for people to become hysterical. A lot of people don't know exactly why they were being told to evacuate and stuff like that. I am seeing young people. Let me see. Was there really a big riot? No, I got the Eight of Cups. I don't really see that there was a riot. Mm-mm. I don't really see that there was really a riot. I do see young people being there, but it was not. Mm-mm. I don't see them starting anything. I see them minding their business. So yeah, it's something strange going on, because what the police were there for is not what they are saying in the news. It's not aligning, based on what spirit is telling me. So, it is up to you to believe whatever you want to believe. I just wanted to do a quick reading for my entertainment. And, I wanted to see, cause I haven't done a reading on the situation or anything yet. Okay. So, and you guys can look up the cards that I said, and you can tell me what your intuition picks up. You can read the actual meanings and see how that applies to the question at hand regarding any type of alien manifestation or the boys lying. So, yep. Moving on, I have a very, very, very interesting story to tell you guys. And I did not know how I wanted to bring it to you, but it's also aligning with the topic of aliens. And I can't wait. Hopefully you guys interact with me regarding this and give me feedback on what you think it is. Leave a voice note, leave an email, and tell me what you think about it. I really do want you guys to interact with me and tell me your thoughts, and I want response. I want interaction. I'm not really a texter or someone that likes to do what everybody, like the rest of the millennials, are doing over the internet. I'm not really internet savvy. I rather hear your voice. I'm one of those people who rather talk on the phone than text. So if you guys send me a voice note, I will listen, and it will be better for us to build a relationship, because I do want to get to know you guys as well as you guys know me, and you know, build from there, and we can be our own little motherfucking cult. So but this story is very, very interesting, and I'm going to go ahead and get into it. Give me a second. Here is the story of the Sandown Clown. In the spring of 1973, two children had a run-in with an inexplicable clown-like entity that eerily beckoned to them from beneath the bridge and managed to lead them into what some have speculated was an alternate dimension. In the southeast region of England, located in the English Channel, about 2 miles off the coast of Hampshire, is the Isle of Wight. This tourist destination is renowned for its temperate climate, natural beauty, and one very bizarre encounter with an intelligent and apparently non-human entity. On the east coast of the isle is the coastal resort town of Sandown. Wedged between the seaside paradise and the nearby town of Shanklin, it is aptly named Shanklin and Sandown Golf Club. It will be sometime in May of 1973 on these impeccably manicured fairways that this truly curious case would begin. At about 4 p.m. on the day in question, a 7-year-old girl named Faye was wandering around the golf course with an unnamed male friend, who was approximately the same age. The duo were exploring the nooks and hills of this great expanse when they were both startled by a sound that they compared to the wail of an ambulance siren in the distance. The young children, filled with both natural curiosity and the sense of invulnerability that comes before a dawning awareness of their own mortality, swiftly set out to locate and identify this haunting, repetitive, monotone screech. These fledgling explorers pushed through the thick hedgerow and made their way to a swampy pasture which was adjacent to the oft-abandoned Sandown Airport. The moment Faye and her companion came into the clear, the intermittent shrieking ceased. Not content to forego this mystery without at least a cursory search of the area, the two investigators pressed forward looking for any sign of the thing that had made such a startling noise. As the pair crossed over a wooden footbridge that traversed a narrow creek, they experienced the shock of their young lives. Without warning, a large 3-fingered hand clad in what appeared to be a blue glove emerged from beneath the bridge and urged the youngsters to come forward. The kids, seemingly curious than they were concerned, did not run away, but stared in astonishment as an utterly unbelievable humanoid figure arose from beneath the bridge. The first publicized description of this unique entity was circulated in the British UFO Research Association's journal, January and February of 1978. In an article by Norman Oliver titled, Report Extra, Ghost or Spaceman 73. In it, Oliver reported what the children had claimed to have seen emerging from under the old wooden bridge. And I quote, "He was nearly 7 feet tall and had no neck, for his head appeared to be wedged straight onto his shoulders. He wore a yellow pointed hat, which interlocked with the red collar of a tattered green tunic. A round black knob was affixed to the top of his hat, and a wooden antenna were attached either side." Oliver went on to explicitly describe the odd entity's stoic facial features. The face had triangular markings for eyes, a brown square of a nose and motionless yellow lips. Other round markings were on his paper white cheeks, and a fringe of red hair fell onto his forehead. Wooden slats protruded from his sleeves and from below his white trousers. The children also noticed that the entity had only 3 white toes on his apparently bare feet. At this moment of what may well have been first contact between the human race and a being of unknown origin, the creature did something uncannily clownish. He began fumbling a book that he had been holding, dropping it into the water below. Faye and her cohort watched this erratic clown, like being as it almost comically splashed around in the creek in attempt to retrieve the book. After he salvaged his book, the entity leaped out of the water and moved away from the children, employing a high-kneed hopping gait gallop, not unlike that of an astronaut moving about on the lunar surface. Within moments, the being disappeared inside what looked to the school children to be a small, windowless metallic hut comparable to those used in construction sites. The perplexed kids simply stared at the structure for a bit, then decided it was time to leave. When they were about 150 feet away from the structure, the entity reemerged, this time holding a device which resembled a black knob microphone with a white flex attached to a small box that apparently served as an amplifier. According to the article by Oliver, the wailing noise immediately returned, this time being so loud that the boy was scared and began to run away. Faye turned around and was about to follow her friend when the screeching sound faded. The mechanized clown began to speak into the microphone. The pair would later claim that they heard his voice with perfect clarity as it asked him a seemingly obvious question. Are you still here? The boy stopped running and he and Faye came to the conclusion that this clown's creature voice had a friendly, non-threatening tone. Once again, the kids' curiosity usurped their better judgment and proving that they would have been prime candidates for stranger danger training, they started back toward eccentric entity. At this point, the clown-like being raised his presumably still moist book, opened it, and in a large childish scrawl wrote a message. The boy was wary, but Faye cautiously approached the clown creature and inspected the writing. As the chaotic sequence of words was in no conventional order, Faye read each one as the thing pointed to it. The message read as, "Hello, and I am all colors, Sam." Seeing as Faye had not been harmed by the unusual visitor, the boy gained the pluck to join next to her, the looming figure. The children then learned that the creature named Sam was able to talk without the aid of a microphone. The kids were fascinated by the being's ability to talk without moving its lips. Faye would state that even though the thing was able to speak perfect English, the sounds it made were distorted, rather like an individual who was incapable of opening their mouth properly, or perhaps a creep hiding behind a wooden mask. The children began to feel comfortable enough to start asking questions. Caught on appearances, as kids often are, the duo asked the being why his clothes were all torn. Sam replied that they were only the clothes that he had available. Faye, fixated on the humanoid strangely immobile features and paper-white skin, mustered the courage to ask Sam if he was a human. His reply was simply, "No." Anxious about his status as a paranormal entity, they then asked Sam if he was a ghost. The strange being replied, "Well, not really, but I am in an odd sort of way." Quick on her feet, the kids retorted, "What are you then?" Sam vaguely replied, "You know," adding no further explanation. The creature then went on to explain that although he had indicated that his moniker was Sam in the book, he had no real name. He also claimed that there were others like him on Earth and further confessed that he was frightened of people and scared that they might hurt him, stating that if he were attacked, he would not fight back. In what is perhaps his most disconcerting move, the being then invited the children to enter his metal-sided, eerily windowless hut through a small flap opening in the side. The kids crawled through, followed by the creature. The hut was divided into two levels. The lower level had blue-green wallpaper and covered with a pattern of dials. Also, it had an electric heater and some basic wooden furniture. The upper level was not as expansive and had a metal floor. Sam told them that he managed to survive feeding on berries that he collected in the late afternoon and that he got his water from the nearby river, but cleaned it before he consumed it. His purification process was not described. Sam also confided in the children the existence, but not the specific site, of a secret camp that he maintained, which was located somewhere in mainland England. Once inside the hut, Sam removed his hat to reveal a pair of rounded white ears and sparse patch of brownish hair. Next, the creature did something truly outlandish. The children testified that the creature placed a berry in his ear, then lunged his head forward, causing the berry to disappear and reappear in one of his triangular eye sockets. After repeating the head movement, the berry reached his mouth. Oliver speculated that this unusual trick might have been a process used by a biological robot to verify the quality and potential toxicity of the berry before he consumed it. Of course, it also might be a supernatural entity attempting to entertain a pair of children or a weird man in a wooden clown mask performing a magic trick. There's simply no way to know for sure. The children... I'm sorry, y'all. The children remained inside the creature's hut-like home for the better part of a half hour, asking Sam questions and receiving ambiguous answers. After a while, they said goodbye, and despite Sam's only nebulous admittance to such, hurried out across the golf link to tell the first person that they ran into that they had not only seen but talked to a genuine ghost. The first individual they ran into was likely a groundskeeper who simply laughed at their outlandish tale, assuming it was nothing more than a flight of fancy of a childish prank. This greatly upset Faye and her companion. Disturbed by this initial reaction, it took Faye a few weeks to tell her father about her experience. At first, he did not pay much attention, but started to be convinced due to the extraordinary level of detail of her account. Her friend also supported Her friend also supported Faye's description of the weird incident. Soon after, Faye's father explored the area where the daughter claimed to have the encounter. There was no trace of any metal hut, nor any trace evidence of it having once been there, which Mr. Y, Faye's father, considered to be odd considering the weight of a metal hut and the softness of the soil on which it allegedly rested. Mr. Y also spoke to two workmen who had been repairing a post in the area when the event allegedly transpired. Neither man claimed to have heard or seen anything unusual that day. So the question that we are left with is this. What exactly was No Name Sam? Was he an alien? A ghost? An interdimensional being? A biological robot? A supernatural entity? An extraterrestrial? An independently wealthy practical joker? A case of two persons' mass hysteria? The product of fertile young imaginations? A terrifying all-too-human predator? Or something utterly inexplicable? Unfortunately, with only one encounter in the books and no sign of Sam or his other clownish brethren populating the mainland, it seems as if this intriguing enigma will likely remain unsolved. Nevertheless, warn your children that if they ever happen to see a three-fingered blue glove emerge from shadows beneath a bridge, they would probably be smart to just turn around and run away. After all, just because Faye and her pal managed to make it out of same strange shed doesn't necessarily mean that was always the case. In fact, while the lack of additional reports might mean that this was just a one-shot deal, it might also mean that other kids who ran into this inhuman ghost clown thingamajig never got the chance to tell their stories. So that is the story of the Sandown Clown. Y'all, what do y'all think about the Sandown Clown? Let me go back to my bedroom. What do y'all think about the Sandown Clown? I could not wait to tell you guys this story. I just thought it would just be really intriguing, interesting, because it is being documented as an alien sighting. So you guys might want to know what my analysis is of this, my opinion is about it. Okay. Listen to the story. I think them kids really did see something. Okay. I think they did see something. And it's crazy because I'm more inclined to believe the kids than those two guys that I played earlier. I'm more inclined to believe the kids because, I don't know, children have a certain openness, you know, and they're just very special and unique. And not everything is imagination. A lot of times when kids do have experiences with things, it's really not their imagination. And whatever that they are experiencing, they do believe it to be real. They do believe it to be true. It's very clear when, like, kids know when they're just imagining things and just making up things and when they are really experiencing things. You know what I'm saying? It's the adults that have an issue with believing what's being told and trying to decipher what's being told. But I typically am, I'm one of them kids, like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm one of them kids. I'm one of them adults that I believe kids. And I like the purity, the pureness that comes from a child's, a child. And just like the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, you know, that comes the truth, that comes reality. Kids really don't know how to lie or make up things like that for no reason at all, you know. I don't know, I have an alien story of my own from when I was a child, and I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say it on this episode. I'm gonna save it for another time. I'm eventually tell y'all, but it is a paranormal story. It may have been an alien, it may have been some other type, it may have been like some other type of entity or whatever, but there was something that I did witness as a child. So yeah. And I've even gotten readings about it because I've never ever forgot it. It was very much real to me. It was very, very, very creepy. Very creepy. So I really do believe that these kids saw something. And I remember, like, when I told my daycare, I was in daycare. That's how young I was. I was in daycare. And I told my daycare teacher, Miss Shelley, about it, what I experienced. And they said, oh no, you know, this is a black one. She was like, oh no, did you tell your mama? Because that, she was like, oh no, that's scary. Like, that's scary. So, I don't know. I kind of believe the children. Why would they come back? And they were so anxious. Like, they came back with, they were anxious. But I think maybe you know how, when you're a kid, you experience certain things, and it may take you a little bit longer to tell your parents because you may think that you're in trouble or you're in fear of their reaction. So I feel that Faye in the story, which is not her real name, but that's just the name that they gave her. But I feel that the reason why she took so long, like a week, to tell her father is because she was probably in fear, like, what did I do? I went and saw all this stuff. She was probably trying to process that shit, as a child. And she possibly thought that she would get in trouble, from like going into the man's house or, the being's basically his home where he abodes, where he abides at. So I think it probably has something to do with that. that's pretty much my opinion about it. What I do want to say is that when it comes to humanity and the other things on this earth, so like the being told, the child, that there is more like them, more like it on the earth. And it was basically saying, my name is not Sam, but it told them my name is Sam. So I wonder, is that where Sam I Am comes from? That shit? Oh wait, no, that comes from Dr. Seuss, my bad. Oh, but yeah, so regarding humanity, there are general stages behind humanity. And the first one is intelligences, right? The intelligences. Okay, so these are other they are entities, but you will probably call them lower entities. Some may even call them demons. they may be, it's not a ghost or anything, but it's not a ghost or anything, but it's a little bit higher than an ancestor. It's a little bit higher than an ancestor. It could be an ancestor, but it's a little bit higher. I don't know how I could just really describe it if you don't do like spell work or work with spirits. It's not really an ancestor. All I can say is like, it's not really an ancestor. It's like a little bit above an ancestor. And it does have certain like authority or power, but it answers to higher beings, or will have to answer to higher beings. You can use an intelligence to get things done, to divine, to do spirit work, to spy on someone, spiritually, astrally. Intelligence could be like, what is that Christmas movie where the person dies in their sleep, or what, they go to sleep and then the person, the guide comes and like takes them and just kind of watches, you know, takes them, and it's like the chapters of this person's life and shit like that. Or you hear about like the entities that take you to review your life or something. That's like an intelligence. It's not really a guardian angel. It's under an angel, but it has some type of authority to do something, or you can have it do something. It can be on a mission. They're not really dormant as a ghost or a spirit, or anything like that. An intelligence can be a... it can be a djinn. It can be a genie, a genie or a djinn, which is an intelligence, a genie, a genius. It is a intelligence. So I would say that. Secondly would be an angel. Okay, those are messengers of God. They are assigned to us with souls. Not everyone has a soul. They are assigned to beings with souls that have been created for the earth plane to do the certain wills that we have been allotted to do, that our souls have been allotted to do on earth. Everyone has them, good, bad, or evil. They have them. And they monitor you. They monitor you. They guard you. Good, bad, or evil. People don't understand that, because everything comes from God. Under the heavens has come from God. It was made for his liking. Good, bad, or evil. And the angels are sent to assist with that, to assist those that he has created for his purpose. So that's what I would say about the angels. Then we have the archangels, who the traditional angels that are just assigned to every being, every soul bound being on earth. They answer to an archangel. So they would be, they're not gods, but they are ahead of, how can I say it? So like in Haitian Vodou, like in Vodun, there is there are families of spirits. So you can have like, let's say, let's talk about Izili. Like, there's a family of Izili, right? And we hear Izili Dantor, Izili Frida, Zila. We have Saint Anne. We have Izili Map Young. Bao Yang. We have all types of Izili. So there can be, but there's a head Izili. There's one top Izili. And then there's the other Izili that branch out from this top Izili. So that's how the archangels operate. And they are of the essence of that angel. They're of the family and the essence of that angel. So I would say Aloha is an angel. And I'll leave it there. I would say the Loa are angels. And there are certain Loa that are more like archangels or operate as archangels. But I would say the Loa are like angels. That would be the highest I can think of for them. Because they're not gods. We believe in Bonye. That is over us. Over, you know, that is the head, the creator. But they're right under it. So they're right under Bonye. It's them. It's Bonye, and then it's the Loa. So next would be the primordial or God aspect. So that's, of course, the creator, Aludamar. I say Aludamare. Bondye, Heavenly Father, Jehovah, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit. That is primordial. Okay. So, when we are looking at the four general stages behind humanity, and we're trying to classify what if this thing, if they did come in contact with this being, what do we think it is? So first of all, it had a microphone and it was sending out a siren, some type of signal. In the Bible, okay, when there are trumpets, there are harps, there are music that is played, and for them to be the only ones to hear it, that lets me know that it is it's not of this world. It's from another reality. I want to say from the heavens. It's from some other reality, some other dimension. It's more of a psychic type of energy behind him playing whatever siren. It's some sort of call. Usually the angels in the Bible are assigned to trumpets, harps, you know, playing music or playing any type of sounds to send out alerts and stuff like that. And if you really understand spirit, every spirit operates through sound. Every spirit operates through sound. Our bodies have sound, have vibration. Everything has a sound and a vibration. The TV being on has a sound and a vibration. I'm not saying like you turning on a TV and playing something. Like if you just have the TV on, the electricity, you having the TV on has a certain sound. You having the light on, the light has a certain sound. Like everything has a certain sound. I always say the earth has a heartbeat. The ground has a certain sound. Everything has a certain sound. They have a certain frequency that they let off. So this being was letting off some sort of sound frequency, and it was alerting something, doing something, right? So I'm gonna just say what I think it is. I think it was, because when they said, so what are you? You know, because he said, I'm not a ghost. He said, not quite, but I am in an odd kind of way. So I would say he does not have a soul. So what I got from that is that he's not a soul. A ghost is someone who has died and their soul, you know, their soul lives on. Their energy and the frequency, their soul essence lingers on earth or whatever. A piece of their soul lingers on earth. So, he's not a ghost. He's not a soul being. He doesn't come from that. But in a way, he's not alive. That's basically what I got from that. Like, he's not alive the way that we are alive. He exists outside of this, you know, dimension. I hope that's making sense. So... and then he had a microphone. I just thought that was interesting that they said he had a microphone. He was walking around with a microphone. That is so interesting. I'm just picturing it. And then he had like antennas coming out of his head. And it just kind of makes me want to... it just makes me want to get back into the, you know... when in the Bible they're describing these heavenly places and things that they see, the seer of Patmos and stuff like that, in the book of Revelations, and the things that they were able to see when they describe the hut, and just, it's just kind of interesting. It also reminds me of like Alice in Wonderland or something. But I don't know why I'm more inclined to believe this story than the Bayside Mall story. Like, I'm more inclined to believe this. I think that they saw an angel when he said, you know, I think that they seen an angel. I think that he is an angel. I think that he's beyond an intelligence. I think that he is assigned to certain things. And the Bible has already let us know that angels are on the earth. They're on the earth. Whether you realize it or able to discern it or not, or experience it, we entertain angels every day. You know, the world entertains it. Not you on a one-on-one basis, but I'm saying that they're in everyday life. They come across, we come across spirits. People come across spirits. They have so many stories on people's experiences with beings that are here and there and never seen again or can't be explained. I think that this was an angel in his in a form. I don't even think it was his true form. I think that it was in a form. And, you know, they described it like, oh, he was a robot. And, you know... he could have been an angel, okay? Or he can be an intelligence. But I want to say angel because he said that I'm afraid of... okay. So, I'm trying to process it myself. Because, you know, this is all just, you know, entertainment, speculation. Let's go. Let's have fun. He could be an intelligence. Okay, so we got intelligence, we got angels, we have archangels, then we have primordial God aspects. He's either intelligence or angel. Intelligence or angel. He's definitely not an archangel, but I felt like he was on assignment. And since there's other beings like him, I feel that they are on assignment. And whatever they're doing with whatever he was doing with that microphone and that book, you know, and I felt that the book was some sort of vessel because he was speaking through the book. He was speaking through the book. So whatever device that he was using, as a pen. It was okay, so this is how I'm seeing it in my mind's eye. This could be my third eye, whatever, in my imagination, in my mind. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that the book serves as almost a translator. That's how I'm seeing it. Like when I'm reading the story, what I'm seeing in my mind's eye is that the book is like automatically a translator. So even if, because they were saying like he could talk without the mic, but when he first introduced himself, he had to write on the book. And then when he wrote, he didn't even write it in a conducive sentence. It was just words. And then he pointed to each word. And then it came out to, "Hello, and I am Sam of all colors. I am Sam all colors." And, you know, to think about intelligences and he might be an intelligence. So the thing about like the names of people, okay, and beings, right? Let me process this. Give me a second. He sings, "I am Sam of all colors." So whatever his job is, whatever his assignment is, has to do with colors. I am Sam of all colors. He either comes from, he represents the light. So that's what I'm getting regarding Angel, because the colors, it reminds me of light. It reminds me of light. Because everything comes from light. All colors come from light. And the color white, right? The colors come from out of... You get what I'm trying to say? If you ever took art class, and then when they're talking about the color theory and stuff like that, and it comes from light. It comes from light. So... if he's just an intelligence, either way, he's a benevolent spirit. He's not malignant. It's not malignant. And, cause he was even saying the spirit, was even saying, "I'm afraid of humans. And if they were to hurt me or fight me, I wouldn't fight back." So that spirit is from the light. It's not from the dark. I'm just processing. We just talking. We having fun. You know, I don't know, but I'm leaning towards a intelligence. You know what I'm saying? That someone can use as like, an intelligence can be a being that you can use to channel or do automatic writing or something. It's just an intelligence. It knows all things. It knows a lot of things. Not all things, but it knows a lot of things. It's very ancient. It's old. It's been here. It's not of this world. It doesn't have a soul. That is just an intelligence. So an intelligence could be good or evil. And I just think it's strange because it had wood furniture in there. And I just really wish that child or those children would come, you know, in modern day, because this was in the 70s, and give another account of what they can remember now that they're older, and stuff like that, and give another account for what they experienced. But you guys tell me what you think. Tell me what you think about this Sandown clown and this crazy story with these kids. Do you think these kids were seeing things? Do you think it was just a man in a clown suit? Do you think they went to another dimension? What do you think? I am curious to know. You can email me at thegifted.odon@gmail.com, or you can click the voice note in the show notes and leave me a voice message. Also, again, if you have a particular inquiry or question, go ahead and leave me a voice note, and I will see. I will, you know, check it out, see if I should answer it. You know, if me and my spirits feel led to answer it for you on the next episode. And I look forward to hearing from you. I love you all. Should I do like a little, I'm really like taking a long ass time. This is a long episode. Let me see here. Want to do for y'all. I think I'm going to give y'all a quick reading. Okay, let me pull a few cards real quick just to see. Some of you are questioning your past beliefs, childhood beliefs, okay? And the spirits are advising that you not think too hard. Don't think too hard about, you know, how you were raised, the cards that you were dealt regarding your beliefs, religious beliefs. It really doesn't matter anymore. And that's something that you have to understand. These things don't matter anymore. Some of you may have an issue with your mother, or that your mother was the one implementing. Ooh, mother and father came out. Your mother and father, the way that you were raised, the things that you were brought up on, you are kind of like guilt tripping yourself, and it's really not your fault. That's the cards that you were dealt, and you have to understand that all of these things that you have been through when it comes to spirit, when it comes to religion, it is used as a foundation. And whether it was traumatizing or whatever, it's what you take out of it and then create from it. So what are you going to create now? How are you going to move forward with it? Because obviously you still have an alignment, or you still have an assignment that you must complete. And it's about what you're gonna do next. What is next, okay? And this takes years. It's not something to change overnight. You are not going to meet and find somebody overnight to mentor under or work with, or however you're feeling. It is okay to be independent in your studies. It is okay to be older in your studies and still, you know, it really doesn't matter your age. Like someone is saying, like, or worried about their age, that they're too old or something like that. And I'm really getting this in mail. But it's really it's really all right. You know what I'm saying? The fact that you are aware of spirit, the fact that you are here, that qualifies you for the blessings, right? I'm sorry, I keep seeing a man in my mind's eye, but I think that you are just kind of judging yourself too much, or criticizing yourself too much. You do that often, and there's really no need for it. There's really no need. Let life do what life do, and you don't have to make any type of decision at this time, because that's not the point of it. It's to experience, it's to comprehend, it's to be intrigued and to inspire you, but it's not for you to move hastily and, you know, get yourself into bullshit. That's not what chasing spirituality is for. Okay. You being aware, that means that spirit is around you, because you are always being led. You are always being led. And what you should be concerned of is, are you being led to the right places and the right people? You know, are you being led to the right things? And if you are being led to the right things and you see the coincidences, which is not coincidences, it's the alignment, that means that you are exactly where spirit wants you to be. Okay. And I was going to do a reading on the sand down clown or whatever, to see if it was real. I don't know. I might do it on like an interlude or something like that, because this episode is too damn long. But I thank you all for tuning in. I do not have the outro song. Oh my God. Should I just play the outro song? Okay, there you go. Don't get mad at me. And once again, I love you, and I will be back for next time.